Fare you well, my honey. Fare you well, my only true one. All the birds that were singing.
Lake Effect continues on 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee's NPR. I'm Mitch Tyke.
And I'm Joy Powers. Mark Arely's voice has terrific range, and while that's evident on just about any of his albums he's recorded over the years, the range that's most apparent on his latest album isn't his voice. It's his ability to credibly cover songs from Against All Odds by Phil Collins to this song by the Grateful Dead.
Cover songs have been part of Arely's mix for years, including an annual all-cover show that he does. His latest album is a collection of covers appropriately called Mixtape. Mark Arely played a show recently at the Café Carp in Fort Atkinson, but he joined us in the studio, accompanied by Jake Armerding, and they started with the aforementioned song by the Grateful Dead called Broke Down Palace.
On the bank's greenish, it will grow. Sing a lullaby, only inside the water. Oh, lovers come and go. The river rolls, rolls, rolls. Oh, fare you well, I love you more than words can tell. Listen to the river sing sweet songs to rock my soul. Doo-doo-doo. Doo-doo-doo.
Great stuff.
Thanks, man.
Broke Down Palace, the Grateful Dead, as channeled by Mark Arely and Jake Armerding. Welcome to both of you. Thanks so much for coming in.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for having us.
Thrilled to have you here. What revs you up about playing other people's songs?
Well, you know, I started out as a music fan, right, before I knew how to play music. And so covering other people's songs kind of connects me back to that part of myself, or at least ideally hopefully means that I never lose that part. So anytime that, there might be any kind of weariness, even a slight tinge of weariness setting in with, you know, being me, I can, and not that it's hard to be me, but just my suite of melodic choices and the experiences that I draw on from my lyrics. I mean, I'm limited in my own imagination. So when I get to step inside someone else's imagination and cover their songs, it kind of shows me other lands that I might be able to go to, you know, eventually on my own. And it ends up influencing my own stuff.
Well, and I wondered whether you approach a song like that thinking, well, I'm going to put a Mark Arely stamp on the song, or whether it expands what you think of as a Mark Arely stamp.
Well, the only thing that you cover verbatim is the Beatles. There's there's nothing you can do to improve upon that. Everything else is fair game. I kind of feel like if I'm going to sing someone else's songs, I have plenty of my own. If I'm going to sing someone else's songs, I want to be able to bring something to it. And it could be an iconic artist like the Grateful Dead or, you know, Roy Orbison or something like that. But you have to believe, in my book, you have to believe that you have something to bring to the tradition around this song, or else stay away and just listen to it.
Well, and it's interesting to think of the idea of a cover, because I there are a lot of musicians who start by just covering other people's songs.
Sure.
And then they get to the point where they have their own catalog of songs. And it sounds like what you're saying is there has to be a point where you have enough confidence in your own material to be willing to go back and reevaluate those songs that other people played and, you know, feel comfortable enough in your own skin to play them yourself again.
Absolutely. I mean, I think I could have made this record, which kind of has grew out of an annual cover show that Jake and I have done with other artists in Boston for 14 years now. I could have, I mean, we've been talking about making this record for a long time. I could have done this 7, 8, 9 years ago, but I wasn't the artist or the singer that I was then, that I am now then, and I didn't have as much experience under my belt, you know, in life. So I'm really glad that I waited as long as I did and brought to it everything that I have now, because I think I'm better off now than I would have been earlier on.
The collection is called Mixtape, or Mixtape for You.
Right? I call it Mixtape, but, you know, in the album art, I couldn't resist putting in a little flourish of, you know, For You, Love, M-E, which a lot of people, you know, read me, but those are actually my initials, which is always, you know, problematic whenever I have to, you know, sign a legal document. They're like, oh, you are initialing this. I'm like, no, that is, I'm actually me.
The cover art is cassette-like.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thinking we're probably around the same generation here.
Sure.
I was wondering, do you think our cassette kids kind of the lost generation of music?
Well, it certainly was like a tweener generation between a format that had been around for a long time, you know, vinyl, and the CD, I think, probably had a longer run than cassettes. And, you know, I don't want to romanticize the medium of cassettes too much. They sounded horrible and they were a bit unwieldy, and, you know, anyone that complains about album art size on a CD cover, you know, obviously never transitioned to cassettes because they're
even
smaller.
Remember reading a lyric sheet on a cassette?
Yeah, they're half as big as the CDs. But, you know, every format has its limitations, and that forces you to listen to the music and interact with it in a certain way. And for making a mixtape, I mean, you really had to like hover with those fingers over the play and record button as the radio DJ was, announcing the song, and hope that they didn't talk over the beginning, and then you had to stop it right before they, you know, started to back announce the song, and so you know, it just forced a real tactile and intense engagement with the music and in listening, as opposed to just, well, I'll just drag this song over here into this playlist and, you know, burn a CD, that kind of thing. That kind of focused listening, I mean, Jake and I were just talking about this. Any time you put focused listening into music, it's going to sound better to you than not, regardless of the format. So CDs sound great, albums sound great. You could even argue that there's a certain, you know, quality to tapes too. As long as you're focused on music, it rewards, because it's a different kind of, you know, medium. You can listen to music in the background of doing other things. That's partly what gives it its power, is like being the soundtrack of our lives. But it's also what makes us maybe take it for granted sometimes, you know? If you're going to go see a movie and you don't look at the movie, you can't say you watched the movie. If you go through a museum with your eyes closed, you didn't see the art, you know? Whereas music, it can be kind of playing, processed in the background. But it can also, if you turn and listen to it directly, it can be a very meaningful experience too.
And interestingly, to think about those first mixtapes that we made when you were there trying to record the song that you wanted as it was playing on the radio, these were mixtapes that you made for yourself.
Sure, you can make them for yourself. I mean, I made a lot of them, you know, in high school and junior high. I was making a lot of them for, you know, other people. I would make some for my male friends as well, like, check this out, this is music that matters to me. But for the most part, I was using them to give to females, and ostensibly you'd be saying like, check out this music, this really matters to me, but really what you're saying is like, you matter to me. And, you know, it wasn't just engaging with the mixtape on like a logistical level, like when to hit play and record and when to hit stop. It was like, well, what is the singer saying in this song? What do I want to express to this person that I maybe as a 14-year-old don't have the language for yet?
Well, I hope we can hear another song from the new album.
Absolutely. Let's do a song by the band here. This is one of my favorite band songs called Ophelia. Voids on the window,
anybody leave so quickly for Ophelia? Where have you gone? The old neighborhood just ain't the same. Nobody knows just what became of Ophelia. Tell me what went wrong. Was it something that somebody said? Mama, I know we broke the rules. Was somebody up against the law? Honey, you know that I'd die for you. Ashes of laughter, the ghost is clear. Why do the best things always disappear? Like Ophelia. Oh, please darken my door.
Ophelia, nice job.
Thank you.
Hey, you look like you were enjoying that.
Absolutely, man. This is the best job in the whole world.
You were saying that the album actually is sort of the natural outgrowth of this annual concert that mm-hmm. you do. Was there a conscious effort when you made the record or the tape or yeah. the recording to kind of capture the feel of that performance?
Not the feel of the performance, though. Two things were very important to me. One, all the material was drawn from songs that I've done at the shows over the years, with the exception of the Grateful Dead song, which I did this past year when the record was released. So I wanted to draw on, you know, stuff that had been kind of audience tested and gone over well. And I also wanted to make sure that everybody that was on the show and part of this show, because the lineup has shifted over the years, I wanted to make sure that they were all part of the record. So, you know, Jake is singing and playing on the record. But the core of the record is actually a very different sound for me with strings. I'd never had strings on a record before, and I'd never worked with this particular drummer before, Ray Rizzo, that plays on the record. And that can be very foundationally changing for a record. So, you know, I wasn't so concerned that it represent what we do on stage sonically, but I wanted the spirit to be kind of drawn from there.
I guess, that's what I was wondering, is maybe the show being once a year, this at least sort of kicks that spirit, you know, into the, you know, the 364 days that the show isn't on stage.
Yeah, I mean, it's actually been really fun. We did a whole run of cover shows with the band, and I did basically probably 75% covers and 25% of my own material. And I know that there were some people in my audience that, you know, they wanted just a little bit more of my original songs. And I really appreciate the intention behind that feeling. But, you know, this is just, it's important for me to stop for every once in a while and just celebrate music. And it's hard to do that if I'm playing my, I have the same feeling of joy and celebration when I'm playing my own stuff, even though I look like I'm in pain when I sing it. But it's hard to celebrate music playing your own songs. It's, I mean, I'm sure there's some people with egos that are, you know, would have no problem with that. But for me, it's very important to kind of put myself aside and celebrate, you know, the purity of it. And so it really keeps me going.
You could almost do a KTEL commercial and scroll the names of the songs in front of you as you sing.
That would be great. Maybe that would sell records. Who knows? We could be back to that.
You have also done some work. You've covered specifically in a bluegrass style what is the Barnstar project?
Barnstar, yep. Yep, Jake Armerding and his dad are both in Barnstar with me, along with my friend Zach Hickman and Charlie Rose on banjo. And yeah, the Barnstar thing it started out as more covers than originals. And I think over the years, as we kind of sporadically get together, we've been kind of trying to nudge it more towards at least equal numbers of covers and originals. And, you know, that's a chance to recontextualize things in kind of, you know, more of a string band kind of context, and it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I wondered if it was scratching, if not the same itch, but kind of a related itch.
Definitely. I mean, what the Barnstar thing provides me primarily is a chance to stand around, you know, huddle around these two mics on the same mic stand with five other guys and really be literally shoulder to shoulder and kind of, you know, it's like a band of brothers kind of thing. A lot of the times I'm not even fortunate enough to have like a single side man. It's usually just me and my guitar up there. And that's great. That's a thing. And I stand by that. But as a mode of being in the world, it's pretty lonely. And so to play with the bluegrass band, it just kind of, it's like being in a gang a little bit, you know, but a gang for good.
And when you're with bluegrass, a gang for good, yeah. I think we have the headline for
plus whiskey.
But it sounds like, to go back to what you were saying a little earlier, when you're with four or five other guys on the stage, you're also, I mean, not that you wouldn't ever be present with your music to begin with, but you really do have to be present because, you know, the five people on stage are all relying on each other.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you have to play and sing with each other and kind of feed on each other's dynamics. And then the way we play, you know, we don't use monitors or plug in anything. So we physically have to revolve around the mics and mix ourselves. And if we haven't done that in a while, that choreography gets a little bit rusty. and there's definitely been some bumped headstocks over the years. But it really keeps you very present and very focused. And that's the place where I think the best art comes from. So all these things are just ways of tricking myself to kind of stay invested and not coast on anything or, you know, develop two kind of set patterns.
Before we get to the end of this, I'm sort of staring at your guitar. It's well worn, and I just, you know, I feel like I owe it to the process to ask if there is a story behind that guitar.
Oh yeah, this guitar is the only physical possession in my life that means anything. I could let everything go. You know, obviously we're not talking about family and loved ones, but physical possessions. This guitar is made for me by a guy named TJ Thompson, who is not a well-known guitar maker, you know, generally, but in very succinct circles, he is the dude. And he has become a fan and a really good friend. And he offered to make me a guitar, and I couldn't say no. He just nailed it. It's an old piece of wood on the top, though it looked brand new when I first got it, and I've just beaten it up. That's why it looks that way. But the wood, the top piece is from the 20s, an old piece of Adirondack spruce. And then the side and back are koa. Can't see it on the radio, but
might take some pictures of it.
Yeah. And so, you know, I like to tell people it's like it's like having the wisdom and experience of old age in like a teenager's body. who wouldn't want that, you know?
Wow.
I'd kill for that.
Like a Karate Kid moment.
Exactly. Yeah, so this is my baby.
Well, I'm honored you brought it with you, Mark and Jake. Thank you both so much. Safe travels, and come back and see us.
I would love to. Thanks for having us.
Yeah. And what are you going to play us out with?
We'll play you out with an older song of mine, going back 10 years now. It's hard to believe I'm saying that. It's called Baltimore, from a record I put out in 2008 called Delivered. It's an 8-hour drive up to Somerville, to Somerville, to Somerville. I got a big cup of coffee and a bottle of little white pills, little white pills, little white pills. I turn the radio up 'cause I just wanna hear the sound someone's voice, yeah, someone's voice. Mr. State Trooper, please don't stop me now. I can't slow down, and I got no choice. Well, I come flying north the Delaware and across the Tappan Zee, wondering what I gotta do to make you reconsider me. Well, honey, don't turn me back from your door. Well, I come all the way from Baltimore. I got a pawn shop ring and a yellow rose bouquet, yeah. Honey, that I bought in some cheap truck stop. The heart that seems enough to prove to you I've changed, yeah. And maybe it ain't, but it's all I got. Well, I know you've had all the heartaches you can take from me, so I won't make no excuses for the fool I used to be. Well, honey, don't turn me back from your door. I come out all the way from Baltimore. Hey, now.
That was Mark Arelli and Jake Armerding. Arelli's new album is called Mixtape. He visited us in studio recently before a concert at the Cafe Carp in Fort Atkinson. Our in-studio session was engineered by John Strelecki and mixed by Jason Reavy.
Drive, but I did it in six. Oh, I did it in six. Oh, I did it in six. And there was a time I thought I could live without your kiss, but now I ain't ashamed to let you see me like this. Well, I come on circling round your front porch light, like a ship out on the ocean to a beacon in the night. Oh, baby, I made my way to your door, and I come all the way from Baltimore. Well, I come all the way from Baltimore. Well, I come